With its abundant natural beauty, charming towns, and friendly people, South Carolina offers the kind of discoveries that stay with you long after you've left. Like the realization you're good at something you never before tried. Or your first oyster roast, and a taste you didn't expect to love. And other times, it just hits. Like the view on a windswept Appalachian mountaintop. So come find the undiscovered you in South Carolina. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
In this next story, we hear about a sleepover with two friends that began very innocently, but led down a path of what can only be described as demonic jealousy. Why a powerful spirit would hold such an emotion towards a human is not exactly clear, but the hold on the individual is undeniable. Rob took the time to share his story with us. I tend to be skeptical about the paranormal. This is not because I don't believe that unexplainable things happen, but because most of the time what people experience can be explained by other means. I should also mention that I've always been very intuitive. I don't consider myself psychic or sensitive by any means. I don't see dead people, and I don't talk to ghosts. My gift, if you can call it that, generally has more to do with the living than the dead. I intuitively know how people are feeling, even when they try to hide it. And 9 times out of 10, I can see through deception. Also, ever since I was a child, I've been able to detect the presence of evil. I grew up in a Christian home, and fortunately for me, my mother always believed me when I said I thought there was something bad or evil around. She always encouraged me and told me that God was stronger than any evil in the world, and that as long as I put my trust in Him, I would be okay. Be warned, if you already have an aversion to mirrors, especially in the middle of the night, you may not want to listen to this any further. It was midsummer in southeast Missouri. School was out, and a friend invited me to stay the night while his parents were out of town. I was hesitant at first because I didn't know the guy very well. We had a few classes together at school, and we were both video game nerds, so we had at least that much in common. He was kind of a social outcast, not by any fault of his own. He was skinny, quiet, and awkward, the kind of kid that cool kids at school like to pick on. Needless to say, he didn't have many friends, but I liked him well enough. I wasn't exactly a social butterfly in high school either, so I could relate. Ultimately, I didn't have anything better to do, and he had a brand new Nintendo 64, the new Star Fox game, so it was kind of a no-brainer. My friend lived in a trailer park that had only recently been developed, and his parents had purchased the trailer they lived in new. No one else had ever lived in it. Almost as soon as I entered the trailer, an alarm went off in the back of my mind, and I knew that something was off. There was something about the trailer that initially gave me the creeps. The windows were all covered in tin foil, making the inside of the trailer as dark as night, even in the middle of the day. I thought maybe that's where the feeling was coming from. Looking back, I wish I had listened to that alarm in my mind, but I didn't want to be rude. I ignored the feeling, pushing it as far away from my thoughts as I could. His parents had left him some money, so we ordered pizza and enjoyed the new game for most of the evening. We were sitting in his room, where the TV and N64 were hooked up. We were joking around at one point. I grabbed a stuffed lion from the bookshelf in his room and threw it at him playfully. He caught it and placed it on his bed. Later that night, he remembered that the rabbits his father kept as pets outside needed to be fed. We went outside to feed them, and when we came back into his room, the lion was back on the shelf where it had been before I threw it. I found that somewhat odd, because I left the room after he did, and I would have seen it if he put it back on the shelf. As I said before, we were the only ones there that night. I asked him about it, and that's when things started to get weird. He said, "Oh, I didn't tell you? I have another friend who lives here with me. He says he's a ghost, but he's not mean or scary or anything." I laughed at him. I wasn't trying to be mean or hurtful, but I couldn't help it. I didn't believe in ghosts. If he was offended, he didn't show it. He only went on to tell me how the ghost would even do small things for him, such as turning off the light if he didn't feel like getting up. Like I said before, I didn't know him very well, and I thought that maybe he was just messing with me, so I let it go. A few hours later, we put on a movie he had rented. I had a sleeping bag on the floor and he was in his bed. It was well past midnight by then, and it wasn't long before we had both fallen asleep. I woke up at some point during the night to use the restroom. The bathroom was just around the corner from his bedroom. I flipped the light switch when I entered the bathroom, but the light only came on very dimly. This was right around the time that early fluorescent light bulbs were becoming more popular, so I assumed the lights in the bathroom might be the kind that take a minute or so to warm up. I relieved myself and turned to wash my hands in the sink, and that's when I felt it. It seems so cliche to say it, but there's no other way to describe the feeling. Someone was watching me. Not only that, it was as if the temperature were dropping rapidly in the room. A chill came over me, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I knew all these feelings well. They were how I always felt when evil was present. I turned on the water, and I had to bend over slightly because the sink was so low. Perhaps my adrenaline hadn't already started to flow from the creepy feeling that filled the room. I may not have noticed that my image in the mirror didn't follow me. I froze. For a moment, I couldn't bring myself to move. I thought that maybe if I just stood there with the water running over my hands, it might wake me up and bring me back to my senses. It didn't. I bent further and splashed some water on my face, and that didn't work either. It took a moment, but I eventually mustered my courage and looked up. At first, the face looking back at me was my own. I would have thought it was all just in my head if the image had followed my movements, but it didn't. As I watched, the face began to change. I've always been on the heavy side, and my face reflects that. I watched as my round features began to take on new, sharper ones that were not my own. The eyes changed, too. I can't really describe how they changed, except to say that they became deeper. Not cavernous or dark, but somehow older, and filled with the kind of depth that you might expect to see in the eyes of an old war veteran. I wanted to look away. I wanted to close my eyes and count to 10. Maybe then the image would be gone. But I was transfixed. It was as if someone were holding my head in place so I couldn't turn away. Then it spoke. "He doesn't need you. He has me, and I'm all he needs." A familiar alarm went off in my mind again. As I said before, I'm better at most at detecting deception, and I knew at that moment that whatever this thing in the mirror was, it was lying to me. My fear slowly began to give way to anger as the pieces came together in my mind. The thing in the mirror was a predator. My friend was an extraordinarily lonely person. He was a loner, a socially awkward teenager who related more to video games than real people. And apart from me, he had no real friends. This thing had used that loneliness to attach itself to him, and it had convinced him that it was just a friendly ghost who meant no harm. It began to speak again. Something about how it would never hurt him, that it was a good friend to him, but I cut it off. "I know what you are," I said. It was something that I was thinking, and I didn't really mean to say it, but when I did, it stopped talking. "You can't lie to me," I said. More boldly this time. I'd never had to deal with a demon before, but in that moment, I knew that was exactly what was in the mirror in front of me. In that moment, I remembered the scripture my mother always used to quote to me when I was afraid. It was from 1 John chapter 4. When I thought about that verse, any fear that remained was swept away, and I was left with only anger at what this thing was doing to my friend. "I know what you are," I repeated. "As long as I'm here, you can't be here." The face in the mirror began to change again, and this time the image wasn't something I recognized. It certainly wasn't human. All the features faded into deep, impenetrable shadows, until all that remained were those deep, ancient eyes. It still had a face and torso, but they were so dark that they seemed to suck in all the light around them. "You can't make me leave," the thing hissed at me. "Maybe not, but I speak with the authority of Christ. The Spirit of the living God dwells in me. And he has authority over all things, even you. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to leave this place and never return." As soon as the words left my lips, I opened my eyes and I was back in my sleeping bag on the floor in my friend's room. I don't think I have to tell you, but I had a hard time getting back to sleep that night. I restarted the movie that had long since ended, and eventually I did drift back into a fitful slumber. I never went back to that friend's house. We remained friends, but from that point on, I insisted that we stay at my house. Now, I know what you're thinking. This was a creepy story, but it was all just a dream. I have a vivid imagination, and I just made the whole thing up in my mind. I would have thought so, too, if that were the end of the story. But it wasn't. I dealt with that same spirit on at least two other occasions. I wonder how many of the ghost stories that people write and call in about are demonic in nature. I know that my friend firmly believed that the entity with whom he was communicating was completely harmless. He legitimately thought it was simply another lonely spirit, and that together, they were meeting a need that they mutually shared. The reality was that for whatever reason, a demonic spirit had attached itself to him. Who knows how badly that could have ended, if it had continued.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.